If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now. We finished strong in the fourth quarter, always. Four fingers raised in the air, the universal symbol of finishing strong in the fourth quarter. And, you know, college football, where that really comes from. We talk some college football right now. The USA Today's Eddie Tamanis is with us here in the program. Eddie, how are you, sir? Works better when you get clicked in. Eddie, now
that's,
I will ask you.
That's a good thing, yes.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Soren. How are you?
I'm very good, and thanks for joining us. And I love anybody who will make a prediction before the season, right? I always think that is a great way. You know, so many people just hide and will not make any kind of prediction. You've taken the coaches' poll and come up with the underrateds and overrateds in college football, and a number of them, I think, are flagship – well, geez, almost all of them are like flagship programs to talk about. And so let's start with your overrated list and the Michigan Wolverines. Why do you think Michigan, twofold, why do you think they're overrated, but also why do you think people choose to overrate them?
A lot of the votes that go into these, especially in the preseason poll, are based on, you know, the reputation of the program. I mean, Michigan is Michigan, you know, it's a big name, they got the big house, you know. And part of it, too, is, you know, they've delivered over the years. Having said that, in recent years, Jim Harbaugh's team against the elite programs on their schedule, you know, your Ohio States, your Penn States, and now your Michigan States, they haven't performed as well against them. And newsflash, they get to play all of them again this year because they're in the same division of the Big Ten. So I just think until they prove that they can beat some of these schools, they're going to have a hard time living up to where they were ranked in the preseason at number 14. And it doesn't help matters for them. Well, it'll help if they win it. But they start out the season right away with a road trip to Notre Dame. So whom also appeared on my list, by the way.
Yes.
We'll get to that.
Yes, yeah, we'll get to them here in a minute. The thing that strikes me about Michigan, though, because you're going off the coaches' poll, right?
The coaches' poll, yes, that is our property.
Yes.
That is the thing that I compile every Sunday morning during the season.
Yes, and so this is overrated by his peers, right? Theoretically, if we believe that the coaches actually do it a lot of, you know, we found out a couple of times here and there that SIDs end up doing, the coaches hand it to them and say, hey, do this, and you send it back. Because
I can neither confirm nor deny this.
and I understand completely.
Uh-huh.
But they put their names on it. So whether
right.
they do or don't, their names are on it. And I think it's important. And because when you guys put your poll out, I've got a full disclosure. I've got an Associated Press vote for college football again this year. And I'm always intrigued by who the coaches are. And, you know, I went down and listed. I got a big list, and we haven't gotten to it yet here in the show, but we'll get to it maybe when we get done talking to you, about some of the guys with local interest, you know, the SEC and Big 12 coaches that are on it, along with some of the other big programs. What I think is intriguing is you've decided that Michigan is overrated, and he's being overrated by his peers, and Jim Harbaugh seems to piss off every coach around him, doesn't he? Like, that's what I thought. I was surprised by Michigan, because I agree. They were 8-5 last year. What they have coming back, I don't know that you just go, hey, you know, they're going to be great based on the talent that's returning. You're basically, if you're bumping them up from where they finished last year, you're buying into Jim Harbaugh, right? You're saying this is a blue chip stock that's gonna go up. He wins. That's what he does. And I'm surprised that the coaches would have that reaction when, for the most part, he seems to irk them. He seems to have been able to upset Nick Saban. He you know, he can. Yeah, we get it. Him and Urban Meyer. Forget about Urban Meyer's stuff going on, the Michigan Ohio State rivalry. But he seems to be able to upset coaches in other leagues, and yet he still is getting, by your account, and maybe I think also by the math of it that's on paper, he gets overrated. That means that they must really respect him, doesn't it?
Well, in a matter of speaking, yeah. It goes to that they vote for the schools rather than for the coaches, I think, or more specifically for the players who play for those schools. And yeah, based on what we're seeing in a lot of these preseason projections, Michigan's got a lot coming back. They still have they supposedly have a quarterback who, you know, to me needs to prove it. He's supposed to be the answer. We'll see, and he'll get a big test of that right away in week one. But yeah, I think a lot of the preseason votes have more to do with the actual talent on the field to a degree than who's leading the program in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Notre Dame. I talked to Brian Kelly at the American Century Championships in Tahoe. He's excited about his team. A lot of people are excited. They lost two tremendous offensive linemen, most notably from last year's team. That was a big part of it. I know they've still got some pretty good pieces on that offensive line, but I don't know. Last year, you know, they almost beat Georgia. That was a big game. They certainly bounced back from a disastrous season 2 years ago. Why do you think the Irish are overrated?
I just felt like 11 was a little bit high considering the schedule that they're going to be facing. They start right away with that game against Michigan. And, you know, if they win that eases the path a little bit, obviously. But, you know, they have road trips to both coasts. They go they take on probably the two toughest or two of the three toughest teams, arguably, from the Pac-12, USC and Stanford. They got to go to Virginia Tech. It's just a really tough sled. They'll win their share of games for sure, but I think they're going to have a hard time living up to that number 11 preseason ranking.
Yeah, and the schedule is, I don't know, the Notre Dame schedule it's obviously unique because they don't play a conference one, although they play, what is it, five games every year with the ACC?
Yeah, they have what they call a preferential scheduling arrangement with the ACC, right?
Yeah, I like that preferential scheduling arrangement.
You can be independent, but you don't have to join the league.
I got nothing against Notre Dame. I went up there. I visited there here not long ago on vacation, so I'm not a Notre Dame hater, but they wrecked the Big East. The Big East kowtowed to them and thought they were going to come join them. Never did. Now, you know, dancing around the ACC. Doesn't have anything to do with me being a Syracuse guy.
I was going to say, wouldn't be your Syracuse route. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of it. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It is a lot of it. But with the schedules you mentioned, Michigan coming straight out of the top is a tough game. But after that, I mean, I think most people, I think if they are overrated, it's because I think most people expect them to handle the rest of their schedule. I think that's what it is. At USC is probably the next game that they're a dog, would you say? Am I missing something? Stanford at home, I guess, if Stanford's good. I mean, can you see him being an underdog before?
Stanford, you may have noticed, is on my underrated list.
Yes, it is.
Which we'll get to also. So yes. I think a lot of people are overlooking them. But, being a dog, you know, I don't pretend to be a handicapper, but But yeah, I could definitely see them losing that game, I'm not sure if it's at Virginia Tech or if that one's at home, but yeah, there are a lot of games that kind of go 50-50 for me, and you know, if you win those, that's great, then you're going to outperform where you were ranked previously, but it just seems to me like it's going to be tough sledding with a fairly young team.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and you are absolutely 100% correct. I did breeze right by that at VaTech, and Virginia Tech is a 15-25 ranked team in the in your guys' poll. They came in at 17. So
17, right?
Yeah, so that is, they'll probably be a dog there as well. So that's a legit point. We're talking right now to Eddie Tamanis from USA Today Sports. Puts together the coaches poll every Sunday and also covers numerous different things for the USA Today. One that is of note locally that's on your overrated list is Mississippi State. K-State's got to play them in the non-conference. You know, why is Mississippi State overranked? Is it just the fact that they lost their coach?
That's a big part of it. That's when you're a school like Mississippi State, that when you have some degree of success, hanging on to your coach is kind of tough. Just the fact also that, you know, they live in a tough neighborhood in the SEC West. You've got to deal with Alabama and Auburn every year. not to mention, you know, LSU, which is kind of a wild card from year to year, but it's still going to be a tough game. I just think, yeah, I mean, they could very well finish in the top 20, but or in the top 25, but that seems kind of a lofty starting point for them, just based on what they've got to deal with.
You've got Florida State and LSU there, and I get it. They you know, we did for a while when Bobby Bowden was finishing up at Florida State, how I think it was like his last 7 years, they finished lower in the polls at the end of the year than where they started. And we're just constantly getting a kiss to start the year, which we talked about how beneficial that is to a program to get that starting spot. Like, if you're not in the top 15, 16, you don't have a shot at the national title.
Pretty much.
Or at least you have no margin for error. There's maybe 8 schools that can lose one and go on and still win the championship. Why does Florida State now, you know, a coaching change, coming off a disastrous year, why are they getting so much love? I kept looking at them when I was putting together my preseason ballot, and I don't think I had – I think I had Florida State, like, I grade them down to 40, obviously only turn in 25. But I think I ended up putting them in at, like, 29 or 30 or something, and I felt bad putting them that high. They shouldn't be getting this kiss anymore, should they?
I wouldn't think that they would. If I had a vote, and I've been lobbying for an AP vote for the years, Ralph Russo, give me a call. No, I think part of it is just there's still a huge, you know, talent base there in the state of Florida that you know, year to year, they're going to put some quality athletes on the field no matter how well or how poorly they're coached. But, yeah, like you said, they had a disastrous year last year. They've got they're under new management now with a new coach who – quite frankly, I'm not sure how the Willie Taggart era is going to unfold there. And plus, they start out with the game against the aforementioned Virginia Tech team we were talking about earlier. That's opening night right there. So, yeah, that just seemed like they were getting the benefit of a lot of doubts there by with that preseason ranking coming off the season they had. So.
And I'm amazed that LSU's the other one, and I wasn't planning on covering them, but are you shocked at how a coach, and I know he's a tremendous recruiter and considered a very good D-line coach, but how a coach who has consistently, you know, been fired, let's call it what it is, at LSU, down in Louisiana, they were almost fired him last year. And somehow that's a program that's galvanized and cohesive and going to be a top 25 team. I mean, I think they've got 6-6 written all over them.
I quite agree. I think 6-6 is quite possible considering everybody that they're playing. I mean, they start out with a pretty tough challenge right out of the chute. So you know, a winning record would seem to be a reasonable goal for that team. They said it's not an acceptable goal in Baton Rouge. They feel like, for better or for worse, they should be aspiring to a lot loftier standards. When you've a program that's won a national championship, I guess you have those expectations. But this year's version, I just don't.
Yeah.
See anywhere sniffing close to that.
Yeah, Miami, they play Miami to open in Dallas.
That's right, the
opener you're talking about. At Auburn, they've got to go to. At Florida, who's a top 25 team by a lot of people's count. Mississippi State is at home. Alabama's at home.
And they got to play Georgia from the other division, too.
And then they got to play Georgia, and then at A&M. And I think A&M's got the potential to be a salty squad this year with them. All right, let's talk about the underrateds, Eddie. We're talking to Eddie Tamanis from USA Today Sports. Handles the top 25 poll. And in the USA Today has written a column about his overrated and underrated teams. Let's start with our own local school, West Virginia. You think they are underrated. I've heard some Oklahoma folks saying, anybody thinks West Virginia is going to compete with us? They got another thing coming. We know they got the quarterback. We also know that they lost some talent on the defensive line. But why do you think that they're underrated? Because they're not completely off the radar screen.
No, they're not off the screen at all. They did get a top 25 ranking, but I just think that they have a chance to finish a lot higher. Like you said, they do have the incoming quarterback, Will Grier, and a lot of their opponents that they're going to face in the Big 12 don't have that, you know, quite frankly. It's not a league that, you know, where strong defense is prevalent throughout the league. So I think they'll be able to keep up with most of their opponents in these Big 12 track meets that tend to develop. And I just think that, you know, if they even, you know, they may not beat Oklahoma, but they get them at home toward the end of the year in Morgantown. So if a second or third place finish, I think, for the Mountaineers in the Big 12 would result in probably a top, you know, a top 15 ranking, which is higher than where they're starting out. So.
I'm curious, from a Big 12 perspective, you don't have OU making the underrated. I think most people get that. But you don't have them on the overrated. I mean, they lost a left tackle and the number one overall pick, a quarterback that won the Heisman, and frankly made a lot of plays that were not drawn up on the blackboard, which is one of the things that I think is going to be intriguing. Now, they've got another quarterback that can buy time with his legs and do all that, but let's see if he can complete the throws after he buys time. Did you consider OU for this list as maybe overrated?
I actually thought they were placed about right.
Okay.
They'll probably win the games that they're supposed to on their schedule. You know, they're a pretty good bet to win the Big 12 again, and I think they're probably going to finish around the top 10. I don't know if that'll get them into the playoff again, but I have a suspicion that that's where they're going to end up by year's end. A lot of things have to fall into place, not just the quarterback. They got some holes to fill on the defensive side as well. But, you know, they're in a pretty good spot. You know, the defending Big 12 champs, they've got the resources. They've had a pretty smooth coaching transition, and I think they're still in pretty good shape.
So, and I got two more Big 12 candidates for overrated. I wonder how close they made, and then one for underrated. TCU and Texas are two schools that I think potentially you could look at and say are overrated. They're in the top 25. TCU lost a lot of players from last year, frankly. And it almost feels to me like, you know, they've been underrated the last couple of years. And now this is a year that you actually could back them up a little bit, but everyone's been burnt by trying to do that in the past. So TCU gets a kiss this year. Did TCU come close to being overrated?
I hear what you're saying. I tend to err on the side of, you know, Gary Patterson has shown that he's a pretty good coach over the years.
Yeah.
So they're a team that tends to get better as the year goes on. The problem with them this year is they have so many of their tough games early on, starting in week two. They're a certain team from Columbus. So, yeah, they're in kind of a tough spot. I in the end, I think I ended up saying that probably right where they are, number 16, I think it is, you know, is okay. A pretty good place for them, you know, to start out as kind of a wait and see vote. You know, if they win their share of games, they'll probably finish better than that. But for now, I actually thought they were in a pretty good position.
What about Texas? I mean, are they living on their name? I mean,
absolutely. Texas, I think, is kind of in that vein of your Michigans, your Florida States, you know, a kind of a name brand school. They have the national championship pedigree, not recently, not in the last decade, but, you know, it's like Florida. You know, the geography dictates that there are going to be some talented athletes there no matter what. But, you know, we've yet to see how they're going to perform. So I considered them to have be on the overrated list, but I thought I was picking on the Big 12 a little too much.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. How about K-State on the underrated? Vegas, again, I know you said you don't pretend to be a handicapper. I do actually pretend on a regular basis to be a handicapper, and it is only pretend. But K-State under Bill Snyder has just exceeded expectation all the time. They're the one team that consistently you think, you know, just like you said about Gary Patterson, how many times has Bill Snyder got to burn everybody
exactly
before he gets bumped up beyond what they look like on paper? He's got a returning quarterback, a veteran offensive line. He does have a lot he's got to replace on defense. But a great O-line and two returning quarterbacks, that's usually a recipe for a 10-win battle for the conference championship-type season for K-State. Should they have been on the underrated?
Yeah, they weren't on the underrated list just because they weren't rated at all for my
okay.
exercise. They didn't finish inside the top 25 preseason. But I certainly have a feeling that they're going to wind up there by year's end. I think they just get slighted by the fact that they don't win pretty. You know, they're the one school in the Big 12 that you can count on to play a pretty solid defense every year. And, you know, they tend to grind it out a little bit and don't get these so-called style points. I know that's supposedly not a thing, but trust me, it is. And, yeah, I think you're right. They do consistently kind of get underestimated. And Bill Snyder just signed an extension, so he's supposedly going to be coaching till he's 83. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we will. Listen, I'm not betting against him. I've won a lot of bets.
No, me neither.
I won a bet on who would be at K-State longer, Bill Snyder or John Curry, the athletic director. I nailed that one. I've won a lot of bets betting on Bill Snyder being around there. So I'm not about 103 is where I think he'll wrap it up when he's there. A couple things real quick. Is Auburn? They're a fascinating school to me. They live in the shadow of Alabama. They want to be Alabama, or at least be Alabama's equal. I know they have great pride in their school, but you know, Gus Malzahn has been like coaching for his job for a couple of years, even after the great start that he had, and their schedule is murderous.
Oh, it's a brutal schedule.
They could be the second best team in the country and lose like four games.
You know?
Is that why? I mean, are they a difficult one to look at in the SEC because of how tough that schedule is?
They're very tough to place. Exactly right. I mean, they start out a game against Washington, which they'll probably win because it's in their backyard there in Atlanta. But it's just playing in the division they do, and their last two SEC games of the year are at Georgia and at Tuscaloosa. So I mean, You're quite right. The what's going in their favor is Jared Stidham, who is possibly the most accurate passer in the SEC, and he's got that kind of arm strength and that kind of accuracy, which is what you need to beat an SEC-caliber defense like you'd see. I don't know if he can do it twice in a two or three-week span there at the end of the year, but it's possible. I mean, Auburn, like you say, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle all of these challenges.
All right, and then my last team I want to hit with you, another SEC squad, of course not on Missouri's side, the school that we cover, but Alabama. Come on, 61 first-place votes, and they have massive amounts of talent to replace. I mean, look, they may end up being number one. They do it all the time. It is just about the program and the coach. But they bring back only three starters on defense. I mean, if you want to have them be number one, okay. But 61 of 65 first-place votes, doesn't that make them, by the very definition, overrated?
Well, they can't possibly be underrated, we'll put it that way. You can't finish higher than one. But, you know, you could, a lot of guys have probably gone broke betting against Alabama. You know, when they didn't even win their conference last year and, you know, quote unquote, backed into the playoff, everyone said, forget it. They got that. Yeah. And all they did was, you know, beat probably the two best teams in, you know, Clemson and Georgia to win another championship. So, but, you know, it's, The quarterback controversy, battle, competition, whatever you want to call it, has taken up a lot of the air time there in Tuscaloosa as far as what's going on in the offseason. But you're right. I think the fans and the people who watch them are a little less concerned about the defensive side because, you know, we've seen them do this before. We've seen them reload. So I don't think people are terribly worried about that. Louisville's got a pretty decent, you know, offensive system. You know, they don't have the guy who's been running it for the last couple of years anymore, but, you know, still the kind of thing that can challenge them in week one, so it's going to be interesting to see what that defense looks like. But personally, I think they'll be fine. They may not finish number one, but I can't really call them overrated because, you know, that's where they've finished three of the last 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I will. I'll call him over.
Okay, you can do that.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to be that guy. I can't remember if I had him two or three. I had Clemson one, and then I think I had I had Georgia two and Alabama three. I think that's what I did.
Yeah. You know, so Clemson is, you know, they've got a pretty smooth path, I think, as far as winning the ACC is concerned. But then, you know, now they have to prove they can win a playoff game when they don't have Deshaun Watson. And, you know, Kelly Bryant will probably get another chance to do that. But he certainly got the defense to back it up, probably the defensive line to end all defensive lines. I think they'll all four of them will be top 10 draft picks next year.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. The beauty of the polls, why I love them, is it's a lot of people's opinions brought together to create a consensus. It's why they're great.
Well, and you know what they say about opinions.
Yeah, everyone's got one.
Everyone's got one,
yeah,
right?
Just like me and my elbow, right? we'll leave it. We'll take the cleaner version of that, the one I tell my daughters. Eddie Tamanis is with us from USA Today Sports. He handles their college football top 25 poll. There and has a great piece about the overrated and underrateds there at USA Today. All right, my final four for you, Eddie. Four quickies. Just tell me the first thing that pops into your mind. I'll start you with this. The college football playoff championship game will be what? Who beats who right now? What's your gut tell? Obviously, many things will change, so we're not going to hold you this, but what do you think it is right now?
As I was saying, I think Clemson's got pretty easy path there. So as far as winning the ACC, so I'm going to pencil them in one half of the game. And I'm going to take a bit of a flyer here on the other half. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. Same reason as I have Clemson. They've got they're in the easier half of their conference. Now, they do have a couple of tough road trips across division, but they have to go to Michigan and to Penn State. But if they get back to the Big Ten championship game and win it, then I think you're going to see them in the playoff, and you know that I could see them getting in on the other half of that. So let's say Clemson beating Wisconsin for this year's championship.
Okay, I'll take that. And you know what? It's funny you bring up Wisconsin. I've got my thumb marked on their page right now because I was running out of time, or I was going to bring them up because I was going to say this is put up or shut up here for Wisconsin because their schedule always seems to be this yellow brick road to 10 wins, and yet this year they got to go to Iowa, to Michigan, to Penn State, and even I think a Purdue game at the end that could be rough. That's four rough road games for them, so they will have earned it. And if we get that championship game, it's probably college football's best offensive line, Wisconsin, against undoubtedly the best defensive line, Clemson. That would be a fun matchup from that.
Wouldn't that be fun to watch?
Yes, it
would. Let's pencil that in.
Let's do it. I like it. All right, quantity of angry emails from fans you get every week because of the poll. How many?
You know what? Most of them, I think, realize that the polls are just polls. A lot of it comes from you know, how can you have voted this way?
Right.
Not me. I didn't. you know, the Alabama fans have been surprisingly quiet. They tend to get, like I say, all the number one votes. And I'd say, I can't really cite a single program as far as being as far as angry.
So not too many, though.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, I'll take it because as a voter, I get crapped on every week. I'll just tell you that right now with the emails, particularly when you put Auburn in front of Central Florida in the final poll. You will find out how many CFU alums there are.
Tough one there.
Yeah, you do. You find that out when it happens. All right. How long is Danny Manning the head coach at Wake Forest, your alma mater?
Well, we'd like to keep him around a while, but he's got to finish a little bit higher than he did this past year. You know, I was at full disclosure. Now I'm dating myself. I was at Wake Forest when Danny and the Miracles took KU to the title there.
Yeah.
So we're certainly hoping for more fun times. He's proven he can send guys to the next level. Now the question is, can he keep the pipeline going?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, and finally, better show. Is it Jeopardy or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You won Jeopardy. You were a lifeline on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Which one is a better show?
You know, I can't speak ill of either of them. Jeopardy certainly has the staying power, and you certainly have to have a, I think you have to have a broader range of knowledge to be successful on Jeopardy. I sat in the chair in Millionaire, too, so.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. That was after my Jeopardy appearance. So it's a different kind of show because you have to, in Jeopardy, it's all about the quickness, the buzz-in. Millionaire, you have a little bit of a chance to sit there and sweat under the lights, but... they're both excellent shows, and I credit Millionaire for kind of bringing the game show back to prime time, so we like to see that. But as far as quiz shows, I think Jeopardy is still kind of the gold standard.
Yeah, they both can be very good, and one can be better, and we'll give it to Jeopardy. I like that.
Okay.
That's solid. That's strong. Hey, Eddie, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and I love the work you do there with the poll. I love that we have a coaches poll. I love that we have a media poll. So keep everybody there at USA Today going with the polls because they're fantastic. And, you know, being a Syracuse guy, I love the lacrosse, so I love the coverage you do on lacrosse as well.
Excellent.
Yeah. Keep up the great work, my friend, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
I'd love to do it again, Soren. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Eddie Tamanis with us from the USA Today. We'll take a break and talk a little more college football next here in the program.